You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Sing diamonds, okay? All the Sunday school kids.
Good morning. Let's stand and we will begin by singing Diamonds. So please stand and join us. This morning, making diamonds. Good morning. I have a few announcements to make this morning. So to begin with, we have a birthday today. Ted Webster, and he's already embarrassed that I said his name. Sorry, Teddy. I couldn't help it. So if you see Ted, and he's sitting right here, wish him happy birthday. Tomorrow we have Haley Wilson and Bill Vig's birthday. And on the 5th is Sue Hillman's birthday. Olivia Vogley on the 6th. And Greg and Sandy Wilson have an anniversary. How many years, Greg and Sandy? 49. 49. Wow, give them a hand. 49, that's awesome. And that same day, Nova Nordine turns 1. And then Brett Sullivan's birthday is on the 8th. So wish them all happy birthday and happy anniversary, Greg and Sandy. I'm going to make a couple announcements here. Today, Julie left this up here. Youth Butter Braids arrive on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 12:30. And bring coolers marked with your name to my house or to Julie's house into the garage before Wednesday. So if you could get it to me before Wednesday. And just set them outside. I'll take care of them. And then please pick up your coolers by 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And if any parent can come on Wednesday and help sort and deliver, that would be super helpful, Julie wrote. And so that is this Wednesday, and we sold a lot of butter braids, so we've got quite a bit of stuff to deliver. So thank you, all the kids that sold and all the parents that helped with that. Okay, if you'd like to turn to your bulletin, there is a meatball dinner today at Grace Lutheran Church from 11:30 to 1. That is to help with the Cornerstone Food Pantry. And also, if you have any gently used shoes, I was asked to announce that there is a fundraiser for the Halleck Pool. And again, everyone is welcome to come to that. And if you didn't make the new study last week at 6:30 for healing the soul of a woman, it's not too late to join. Just talk to Faye if you're interested. And it is our turn, as you know, this month to do the Meals on Wheels. And we're still looking for someone for the week of November 18th. So please sign up in the foyer. If you can help us with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Also notice in the foyer, there are a lot of sign-up sheets. And it takes a lot of us to do this work that God has called us to. So please check them out. And don't just walk by the table, but check and see what the sign-up sheets are about and volunteer. We would really appreciate it because we're looking for help in several areas. The Thanksgiving service this year is held here at the church, and that is on Wednesday, November 27th at 7 o'clock. So I believe we are responsible for making the pies, or what is that what we do, pies? Pies, so... I like lemon, banana cream, strawberry rhubarb. Actually, anything you bring will be amazing. So I think that's it. I won't go to the looking ahead. There's a lot in December coming up as well. Is there any other announcements that I might have missed this morning? Anything at all? Peggy. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. So veterans, we are going to do the veterans meal, and that is on Monday the 11th. And if you know of any, let us know. Any veterans that we need to invite, because we are going to send out invitations. And Heather. Okay, awesome. And that is for two, is it? Is it two sponsored children through Compassion International. So thank you, Heather. And that is for the Sunday school kids. Break into your piggy banks. Get your mom and dad's permission, I suppose. Okay, thank you very much. Also, our outreach committee met this Friday, and we talked about with the holidays coming up through Thanksgiving and Christmas, we would like to make our that box in the back as part of the Dollar Club. If you have forgot what that's about, that is if you want to bring a dollar every Sunday, you can put in there. it goes for extra outreach into the community when there's a need. It makes it available to me as a pastor if I know there's a need out there. What we would like to do is any offering that is put in that box now through Christmas, it can be whatever amount you want to put in. We would like to collect that and in turn, excuse me, maybe buy gift cards, put money on account, gas stations, whatever. As we pray about it as an outreach committee, when we think of there's a family or someone in need, just kind of a little extra work that we can do, I believe, and what a blessing that it is to give, especially during this time of the season of the year. So that is in the box in the back. You can drop it in. And if you know of a need, you can just write it down on a card, pop it in the box, and we will be checking that as well. So we really want to meet needs through Thanksgiving and Christmas, of course, but throughout the year. Okay, anything else that I missed this morning? I know we were going to show a video, I believe, weren't we? For the Samaritan's Purse, the Christmas Operation Christmas Child. Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's pretty easy to get excited about being a part of that. I don't know if any of you have ever imagined the box that you wrapped being on the back of an elephant heading across, but actually some do make it that far. It could be one of yours, heading into a region of a family that you would never have a contact with. So what a gift to be a part of that. Oh, yes. Okay. Prayer and scripture is, I'm trying to remember, is it Denise? Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you all for finding your own bulletins. I sat down and realized it was our family. So hi everybody. I guess this never-ending harvest is wearing on my brain, too, so sorry about that. Scripture today is John 13, 34 and 35. I forgot my glasses. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And that was John 13, 34 and 35. God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for the first breath you gave us. We thank you for life. We thank you for being able to come here and worship you and just be in fellowship with other people, God. We just pray, Lord, we have so many prayer requests, and we just pray for each and every one of these, and we know that you already know them. But you know our hearts, God, and we're just coming to you on our knees with these prayer requests. We pray, God, for Mike and Josie, that they can just have a great time together, that you'll give them safety, and that you'll help Josie decide which college she wants to go to. Just make it real clear to her, God. We just thank you also for Mike and for his willingness to go. And God, we just pray that you continue to work in his life with his arm or shoulder, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just help him to heal as well. We also pray for Al, who's going to be having an ear implant, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just be with him and the doctors and help everything to go smoothly. We pray, Lord, that you just give him a calmness and a peace about everything that's going to be happening. We also continue to pray for Glenda, God. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to bless her and be with her. We thank you for her faithfulness and for her times that she can be here. And we're just asking you to just really cover her in your peace, Lord. God, we also pray for our president and just for the world, Lord. We just know that your hand works in everything. Sometimes we can't see it. And God, we just pray that you just help us to trust you. We pray, God, that you just give the president strength that he needs and the wisdom. We pray also for all our troops and the spouses of the troops that are deployed and just our firefighters and our police, just our EMTs, God, our first responders. We just pray, God, that you just keep all of them safe, especially the firefighters battling the fires in California, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you just give them extra rest and strength. We pray for Vera Lore and the family, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just send your presence there. Help them to really feel you. Help them to just be at peace. And we pray, God, that you just bless them. We pray for people with anxiety and depression, God. We just know that that's real. And we just pray that anyone suffering from that will just reach out. We pray, God, that you'll just open our eyes to see people who are in need and help us to reach out to them as well, God. We just pray for extra grace during this holiday season coming up, God, that you'll just really show yourself to these people, and actually to some of the farmers too, God, who are really feeling the weight of this harvest and the weight of this, the weather conditions. God, again, we know you're in control and we just trust you. God, we just ask for your grace, Lord. We pray for Scott Schostrand. We just thank you that he's in a facility that's going to be able to help him. We pray, God, that if it's your will, he'll be able to come home. And if not, God, I pray that you just send people there to visit him and to just let him know that he is loved, not just by you, but by a lot of people. We thank you, God, for Cora's surgery. We thank you for the progress thus far, but we ask, God, that you just continue to heal it. We pray that you just continue to heal it 100% so she will just not have any pain and that her body will just be able to move normally and that she can just get back to doing what she loves. And we just ask for extra patience for her too, Lord. We pray, God, for Janet as she is kind of in early labor here, Lord. We pray for the baby. We pray for the doctors. We pray for Pistol to get home safely. A baby is such a blessing, and we are just in awe of the miracle of birth. We just pray, God, that you'll just help everything go smoothly, And in your timing, this baby will be born and be healthy, and everyone will be safe, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just send the right people to her, doctors, nurses, and people just visiting, Lord. We just pray, God, for safety. We also pray for Nikki and Ashley, too, and all the others that are pregnant, Lord. We just pray, God, for the timeliness of the babies. We just pray that you're just growing them healthy. We pray, God, that Ashley is feeling better and that she can just rest and help this baby to grow into a strong, healthy little baby. We just thank you so much again for the miracle of life. We also pray for Pat's treatment that's starting this week, Lord. We just pray, God, that you just give her the extra strength and the extra wisdom, the extra patience. We just pray, God, that her body will respond to this treatment. We pray, God, for Trish and Danae and all the family, Lord, that are her biggest cheerleaders behind her, God. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to just give them a sense of calm and peace and trust. It's hard, but we just know that, God, you do work in everything. We thank you so much that we're able to come to you with all these prayer requests. We just pray, God, that this week ahead will be a great week, that we can all just be a light for you. We pray, God, that you just really open our hearts to the people in need, open our eyes so we can see what the need is, and open our minds to do what you want us to do, God. We thank you for this service. We pray, God, that you speak through Galen today, and you pray that you continue to give him strength to do this. I pray, God, that you just give him the rest and the wisdom that he needs, Lord. We just thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Denise. I also like to thank whoever decorated the church. It's just beautiful down here and all over. So thank you. What a beautiful, wonderful treat it is to come and see that we are ready for Thanksgiving. We are going to have special music by Hope. She's going to come and sing for us. And if I could have the ushers come forward for the offering, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God, and we just pray that you'd guide us, Lord. Help us to be the church, God, that you've called us to be, God, individually and together for you, God, built up in one to give glory to your name, to worship you as we are called to do, to be your workmanship. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Tell of who you are.
your faithfulness, and I know who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know. Without them I wouldn't know your heart, and with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful. I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know. So forever I am thankful for the stars.
Thank you, Hope. Beautiful. We are thankful. If we have the praise team come up, we will continue by worshiping together. So please stand and join us. Thank you.
Pray for guidance, for wisdom, for strength, and we just thank you for the joy that only you can give, Lord. Lord, we just pray now for the rest of the service. I pray that you'll just speak through Galen's words, Lord. We just pray that you'll bless him for his obedience to you, and just pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we will raise a hallelujah to you every day, Lord. We just praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go into our time of communion, so if I could. As I prepared my sermon, I tried hard not to stereotype a little bit, but I have to because it really speaks to me and explains a little bit of my identity as a guy, as a husband, because there's times throughout Julie's and my 40 years of marriage that I have gone to the cupboard when she says there's something in there and I look and it's not there. And I turn around and I say, Julie, I can't find it. to which she immediately walks over, reaches in the cupboard, and picks it out and hands it to me. And she said, there's five more just like it. How many of you guys struggle with knowing where to look? Curtis does. At least we have one honest man in here. Jamie does. It's true. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. So this morning, and what this series is all about, is knowing where to look to find our identity, to find out who we are. And today is the final message, and this one is, are you ready? You know who you are, and are you ready? It's not impossible, you know, to once we've been given this new heart, the grave clothes have been taken off, it is not that impossible, and it's really not that hard to put the grave clothes back on. I don't know why we have a tendency to do that, but we do. We think that there must be something that we should be able to add to this salvation that we've been provided. And there's not, or we chase after and we dabble in sin and the grave clothes come back on again. And it's a battle that it says that throughout Scripture that we are in this battle, and as far as we are in this life, as long as we're in this life. It's a part of us. But it doesn't need to be. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and we've been looking at Ephesians, and he says to them, he said, you should no longer live in the futility of your minds. You don't need to. And yet we do. I think it's the easiest thing for us to go to is try to go to our minds and figure out, okay, what does God mean? How do I feel? Man, feelings are deceptive. Well, today, as I said, is our final sermon. This is the sixth sermon in our series called The Identity Crisis. And as I thought about ending up with this, I thought, you know, the gospel isn't about just a set of rules to follow, or I should say obey. It is about someone to follow, and that is Jesus Christ. So before we get into our final message, I just want to recap just what we went through. And the first one that we talked about is, who are we? We're living in a world of where there is a serious identity crisis, even in the church today. Many people don't know who they are. The world tells us that we can identify with whatever we feel. Trust your feelings, follow your desires, because that's how God made you. Well, I'm telling you, because of what God's word says, which never changes, that the heart is deceptive, we are broken, and it's not okay to trust your feelings or your desires, because you are broken, and we live in a broken world. If you just identified with how you felt, you're in serious danger of identifying with the wrong thing. You can be deceived so easily, even with the very best of intentions. Our identity of how we were created by God is meant to be in Christ and how he made you, and not in anything that contradicts what Scripture says about who you are or how you were created. It's pretty heavy stuff. The second topic that we talked about is, how broken are we? And boy, there are some days I feel way more broken than I do other days. I don't know if you can relate to that. There are some days I ask God, am I seriously supposed to be doing what I'm doing? You know me. Am I really called to this? And as Christians, we are told, according to Scripture, that God gives us a new heart. And yet we still struggle with sin. And sometimes we even doubt that our heart has even been changed. I confess to you that I've wondered that in my life. I think, if I have this new heart, why am I struggling so much? So instead of living like we're redeemed, we often get caught up in doubting our redemption at all. And then we find ourselves maybe trying to add to it. Like maybe we need to help God a little bit. Like sending your son wasn't enough. How crazy is that? Our third topic that we talked about was, are you a victim of identity theft? Satan, as we know from Scripture, is called the father of lies, the great deceiver. And he loves to work on his children, on God's children, to get them to doubt their identity in many ways. Right from the start in the Garden of Eden, we hear Satan say something like this to Eve. Did God really say that? Did he really say that? He just wants you, he doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to know all the things that he knows. Did God really say that? Satan ultimately just twisted God's word, bringing doubt into Eve's mind, and he said Adam and Eve headed down a path in the wrong direction. You could say looking in the wrong cupboard. What we know from Scripture is that Satan doesn't always work in such bold ways as this. We know that he's crafty, he's slow, and he's steady. And he sometimes just has constant pressure on things. And much like we talked about the starfish and the oyster, remember that? How the oyster is just a two-piece shellfish with one huge muscle. It's way stronger than what the starfish has, which the starfish is the predator. And yet the starfish, with its five legs that alternately rests and tries harder again, much strong, eventually overtakes the oyster. The oyster gets tired and eventually just gives up, only to be devoured. I believe that many times that's how Satan works in our lives as Christians. Slow and steady. It's just like the song by Casting Crowns, Slow Fade. Many of you have heard that song many, many times. It's a slow fade. One line in there talks about when black and white turn to gray. It's a slow fade. Has there ever been a time in your life, let me ask you that you let yourself go to gray? There has been in mine. And maybe you're there now and it's causing you to doubt so many things in your life. Well, I'm here to tell you again and again and again that God never changes and neither does his word. So what truth from his word are you fading from? What's causing you to doubt? What's causing you to compromise in embracing the wrong type of path? Again, looking in the wrong cupboard. And so the fourth topic that we talked about is, so what is our purpose? What are we here for? We are God's children. What are we here for? Why did God create us in his image? Male and female, he created us, it says in Genesis 1:27. And the one thought that brings to my mind every time I think of this, what's my purpose, is I go to Ephesians 2:10. I just do. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're created by God. Male and female, we are created to be his workmanship, his masterpiece, we are called. You would think that God that created everything, look around, look at nature, and then look around and then go take a look in the mirror. And you're called God's masterpiece, his finest work. And on the day that he created you, he said, "This is very good." not just good. He was very good. One thing that you'll notice from Ephesians 2:10, one of the reasons I like it so much, you notice it's not about you. It's not about me. It is in a way, but ultimately it isn't. Because what are we created for? To do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. It is not about our selfishness, our self-determined desires. It's not about our feelings. It's not about how we feel about the day. We were created not to do good work for ourselves, but for him. Created by him and for him to do his work in this world. When we get confused with our identity, no matter what we do or how we think we were made, we can easily be deceived and get confused. When we look at our own heart's desires, when we look at our own feelings, which is clear from Scripture, we cannot trust them. We can be easily deceived. We must identify and put our entire trust in God. That is where our identity lies, and in his word. No matter what. Our fifth topic is, who does God say we are? I have to admit, this is one of my favorites. One of the terms I've come to laugh every and smile every time I hear it is when I heard someone say, are you a Debbie Downer? I don't know what Debbie did wrong to get titled that. I don't even know any Debbies, I don't think. But what should our attitude be like? If we think about the trials that we face in this life, if we think about the things that we struggle with, whether we can pay our bills or not, whether we get through harvest or not, whether we get through an illness or not, it is so easy to be down. But we serve a God who can do anything. There's times where I admit that I've asked God, what are you up to? Because this makes no sense. What are you doing? God clearly says to us that we are his. And we need to keep saying that to ourselves. We are his children. We are his beloved. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are created to worship him. We are created to love him, and we are created to love our neighbors as ourselves. And there is so much more you can add to this. We are chosen. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are loved. He lavished his love on us. And the thought that he could call us children of God, you could say, put a smile on God's face. In a big way. And that brings us to our last message today. And this is really brief, but it is powerful. Because what are we going to do now? After all we've explored, examined, questioned, we need to ask ourselves, how ready are we to move forward, to live this life? To be God's hands and feet in this crazy and broken, confused world who identifies with just about everything you can imagine. How can we stay on course when God's identity is being questioned and corrupted even by the world and by the church? Our identity is in question. God's identity is in question. Your family's identity is in question. And yet God has never changed. For we, even though we were when we are in Christ, when we are born again, given this new heart, as we talk about, we still struggle with poor vision. We see dimly. We struggle with sin and we tend to wander off course so easy. It's like being in a corn maze and hearing a voice saying, this is the way out, and you have no idea where that voice is coming from. And yet we have someone who promises to lead us and guide us and be there for us. And when you hear his voice, we should follow. Right?
Right.
Amen. Amen. The gospel is not about a set of rules to obey. It is about following Jesus Christ. For we are told he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through him. Well, on my desk, someone gave me a plaque that I've looked at literally thousands of times, and it's from Scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58, which says, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Notice it says, stand firm. Also notice that it says, let nothing move you. Notice that it also says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Did you notice there's no room for taking up your cross just to lay it down again? Do you notice that there's no room, and we're not meant to put our grave clothes back on again? So you're not meant to take up your cross and lay it down only to give part of yourself. It says fully. That means all of you, spiritually, emotionally, physically, your desires, mentally, sexually, in your heart, completely, fully giving yourself to the work of the Lord. Every breath you take, fully to the work of the Lord. You know, if we fully do that, there's absolutely no room for compromise. When you fully do that, there is no half believing God's word. It's believing all of it. So my question unto you is, are you fully there yet? As I think about how much God gave, you know, it's easy to share in communion. It's easy to read the scriptures and not really experience the fullness of what that day must have been like, when all our sin was heaped on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he said the words, my God, why did you forsake me? It's easy for us to not go there. But when I think of how fully God gave, why should we not fully give what we have to him? As Denise read earlier, the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he says, a new command I give you. Seems like a pretty easy one, love one another. Then it gets really hard, as I have loved you. How did he love us? He gave himself to us, for us. He says, as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Now it's about our witness. If you love one another. Well, starting next week and in the coming weeks, we're going to head into another sermon series called Becoming Love. Did you ever stop and really think about how different our world would be if we fully loved the way God intended us to love? It's like we're so full of love that it actually literally runs out of us. It's like a river flowing in. It's like a flood that cannot be contained. Like you can't help not love someone because you're so full of love. Can you imagine what your life would be like and what your witness would be like? Can you ever think of what it would be like to just do that? I do a little Bible study on Wednesday night right now for with Chris Ledoux and Jared Olson. And this Wednesday, I was invited out to Chris's for this wonderful spaghetti meal. It was amazing. And as we were doing our study called The Man in the Mirror, and let me tell you guys, if you haven't read that book, you need to. But part of our study, it said, it was a question that I gave to Chris and to Jared. And it was a very kind of a somber question, and yet it was one that really hit home. And Chris didn't even hesitate when I asked him. I said, "What would you like written on your tombstone, Chris?" And Chris just blurted out that I died empty. I said, "Really?" And then he sent me the quote from Irma Bombeck, which went kind of like this. It said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and can say, I used everything you gave me." Isn't that beautiful to live that way? The talent that God has given you, the gifts that he has given you, that you don't waste them. Not one single moment, not for one single day. There's nothing left to give except to go home. What a gift, what a blessing. To me, that sounds like Matthew 25, 21, and 23. And it's the parable that Jesus was telling about a master and his servants and how these two servants had used their talents wisely. And basically, Jesus said this, "Well done." And God would say, "My beloved child." If following Jesus isn't leading you to the poor and hungry and the lost, maybe you aren't following Jesus, because I believe that's where he leads us. Maybe you aren't fully surrendered. God calls us his bride. I still try to wrap my mind around that. I try to wrap my mind around why he calls us his beloved. I try to wrap my mind around Zephaniah 3:17 when I get the vision of him dancing and singing over us. He chose us. Why wouldn't we want to follow him? So my prayer is that today we would stop defining ourselves by how we feel or what the world tells us, but instead that we would define ourselves by what God says about us and totally believe that Jesus is enough. There's nothing more to add to that. Nothing more we can or should want to add to that, because his work was complete. It was full. It was finished. It was well done by God's beloved child. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God, and we pray that you'd guide us. Lord, I confess to you that I feel so inadequate to deliver a message like this, God. And I pray right now, God, that you would just speak into the hearts of everyone that is here, those who listen by podcast, Lord, that they would know what it means to be loved by you, that they would know what it means to love like you. They would not speak words of condemnation or words that are critical, but God, words that are life-giving. God, we just pray that you would just change us. Help us to accept the forgiveness that you so freely offer. when we come to you in all our brokenness and we repent and we come to you and say, Lord, fill me and forgive me, use me, and help me to love like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing our closing hymn, and we'll get it done before the Vikings play, I promise. They're going to win anyway. And if Kansas City fans are listening, I'm sorry. What's our hymn number again? Jackie, I don't remember it. Was it? 264. 264. Father, we pray that you'd guide us, Lord, as we go from here. Help us to love like you, Jesus. Teach us to follow you. And help us to guard our hearts and our minds, God, that we would not be distracted by anything other than to know that we are in you and that is our identity. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.